Why don't we start talking about GraphQL? And for anybody who's tuned in before, they probably know that I'm very much all about just, starting with the basic question. So let's start with the basic question. What is GraphQL?
So GraphQL in a nutshell is a interface to data for front ends. That's basically the easiest way I would state it. It's a specification for a query language for APIs. And if you're familiar with, for example, REST or WCF, it follows a similar pattern in that you have a request that you package up, you send that request, you get a payload back, but it specifies how you shape that payload. It also specifies how you mutate data. So it just like REST, you have post and put versus GET. So there's ways that you specify that in GraphQL. But what really makes it shine is that it allows a single front end to multiple back end interfaces. In other words, I can use a single endpoint to query different data sources, combine those data sources, and do some interesting things like even real-time subscription-based what's the word I'm looking for? Observation of data streams. So there's a lot of flexibility. And since we're showing some bullet points I put together, I love this quote from one of the co-creators of GraphQL, a data fetching API powerful enough to describe all of Facebook. So I mean that's they really literally wanted to be able to have an endpoint that could do everything that you do on Facebook. And it turns out that it works out really well for other scenarios. And I'm just gonna give this high-level overview because I want to jump into code and explain things through code. But one of the cool things about a GraphQL request, which we'll see what that looks like in a little bit, is that it operates on this concept of resolvers. So I might ask, in this example at the top, you see user ID, name, user preferences, storage, whatever. So I may ask for all these pieces. They may exist in different databases and backends and even behind legacy APIs. But with GraphQL, what I can do is take that, write a resolver for each piece fragment of data, and have that go off and do its thing, and then basically glue that response together and send it back, which is pretty cool piece of functionality or capability, if you will.
That looks cool. So I'm curious here real quick, because you mentioned REST. And for anybody who's not familiar, REST of course stands for Representational Stateful Transfer, which of course is completely meaningless. And honestly, it's the only reason I ever remember what it stands for. But REST, of course, is it's a syntax. It's an agreed upon structure for how it is that we're going to interact with a web server. So when I do GET, what I'm saying is give me some data. When I do POST, what I'm saying is I want to create data. When I do PUT, what I'm saying is I want to update data, etc. Now, with REST, that's to a certain extent kind of where it stops. And yes, anybody who wants to get overly pedantic is probably going to go, well, that's not really it. Okay, fine. But in a lot of ways, it doesn't sort of give that whole structure on like being able to query data and so forth. It is, and again, oversimplification here, it's about this framework where I'm going to say get, that's going to get data. I'm going to do post, and that's going to create data. But it sounds like with GraphQL that it's able to go then beyond that it's not just a get is going to give me data, but it's going to give me some agreed upon mechanism with which I can then query and filter and sort that data like I might with a SQL query, or am I, going too far with this?
No, you're very much on base. So it's an agreed upon contract that does a couple things. One is you can ask any GraphQL endpoint, what capabilities do you have? What can I do? What can I ask for? So you're able to do that. So it's like OpenAPI or Swagger and REST rolled into one. The other thing, though, is you can shape the data response. You can say, I'm only interested in these two items. Now, if you do that with REST, there's creative ways that you have to do that, like specify it as a payload on the request, or you might have to go back to your back-end developer if you're a front-end developer and say, hey, look, I really only need name. I don't need 15 fields for this. Can you provide another endpoint or a parameter for that? GraphQL has that built in. So you always shape the data. And what I'm going to show you is that that can go all the way down the stack. So it's not just shaping data before it serves it. It's even down to the database level.
So,
which is quite powerful.
So you hit the point that I was trying to make, and of course you did it much more eloquently than I did. But when you make that REST query again, it's that contract, and so when I call some REST endpoint and I do let's say I do a GET by ID, what that's typically going to give me is the full object. And I don't have any real control over that unless there's another endpoint that's now only going to give me part of that. And so what you're saying with GraphQL is that now I can say, hey, I want this by ID, but I only want the name and the address field, that I don't need all of the other fields to come along with that. So that's something you can do in GraphQL. But that's obviously not something then that you can do in REST.
Correct.
Okay. That's very cool. My headphones don't want to stay in place. Stay. There we go.
That's okay. Hearing's only half of the conversation.
It's apparently an important part, though. The other part that I want to ask you about is, you mentioned that the client is then able to say, hey, this is what I want. And then you also mentioned that there's, you know, the ability to ask, hey, what are you capable of? So I want to talk just real quickly then about like a little bit of security and control then on the server side of things. Does the server then have the ability to go, oh, I don't want you to be able to filter based on name, or I don't want you to maybe do like a like statement to use like a SQL type of scenario? Like, you know, one of the things performance wise that you often want to avoid is doing like and then start with a percent, because then it has to go through all of the records. So one of the things that you might want to be able to do from a server is go, hey, you're not allowed to do that. Are those the types of things you're allowed to limit and filter with GraphQL?
You are. And what's interesting about it is GraphQL specifies how you formulate the request and how you formulate the response. It doesn't really have an opinion on what happens on the server. So I can use a authentication convention. And then when I have someone's identity, then it's really up to me to respond to that request however I want. Now, that's where GraphQL frameworks, implementations, libraries come into play, because most of those will provide. So you're going to see example in my demo that it's a very much opt-in model, that I don't let someone filter the universe unless I choose to opt in to let someone filter the universe. Or if I want to say, based on a role, you have access only to a certain tenant or a certain segment of information, all of that's possible. And that's where you start to look at different clients, because they have different dials and levers for configuring that, so to speak.
Okay. All right, cool. All of that now makes more sense in my head, and hopefully it makes sense in everybody who's watching and in their heads as well.